It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy with Matty Russell in the co-host chair. Remember, you can catch the show every weekday from 6 a.m. on Sydney's home of sport. And today, one of the burning issues, the future of South Sydney coach Jason Demetrio. Well, hello there. Tuesday morning, let's do this. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Not Brandy. Brandy's still in a sake bar somewhere in Japan. Who would know? And Matty Russell is in the co-host chair. We're here for Brighton's lawyers. Best legal advice on the planet. 1-800-848-848 is their number. And speaking of Brighton's lawyers, Lee Hadjipantelis among our guests today in Sport and the Law. That will be after 8 o'clock this morning. Boy, has there been some reaction to what we've discussed on the program yesterday? Matty Russell, as I welcome you, I love that people bought into the Reece Walsh discussion without actually knowing what the discussion was.
Yes.
Suddenly, Voss, you're an idiot. You're F this, F that. You know, you're in love with him. He's not the greatest player of all time. No, that was never the discussion.
It became distorted.
Lips, it was the most popular player. That the cut through that Reece Walsh has achieved, I have him up there. I don't know whether we revisit the same topic today, but I'm happy to discuss it. Matty, I'm happy to argue with you about anything, to be honest.
I did NRL Tonight last night with Stephen Blocker Roach. When it comes to most popular players, he was right on board with you. And he nominated a long list of, you know, finalist candidates. In his days, it was Andrew Eddingshausen, and he told a story about whenever they played Cronulla, they tried to put some zippers on his forehead to take away those good looks. Said, mate, what's the zippers? To the uninitiated, tried to cut him open, couldn't catch him, he said. So, yeah, it was a lot of discussion, and he agreed wholeheartedly. And I just feel, Andrew, that today's going to be a big news day as well on multiple fronts. We know it's Teams Tuesday. We know South Sydney's board is meeting this morning, but it just tends to come at you left, right and centre in rugby league. Yesterday we had Luke Keary calling it quits at the end of the season. A lot of news to get through. And I just feel today's going to be the same as we look to round nine. Nominate your match of the week this week on the text line, if you like. I think there's a clear standout, but there are great games again this weekend.
South City fans, call to arms right now this morning on Breakfast with Vossie and Matty here on SEN. Have you say, if you had an opportunity to go into this board meeting, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't think you just... It's not run-of-the-mill 8 o'clock in the morning. I haven't heard. There's not too many board meetings that happen at 8 that don't resolve in, and I'm sorry, Jason Demetrio, because you're a good fella, but my time in rugby league tells me the 8 o'clock board meeting doesn't often endorse. It doesn't often lead to no change. Like, something comes out of an 8 a.m. board meeting. If you could go into the board meeting today and speak to the power breakers at South Sydney, let's just limit it. What's 3 points you'd make? What's the three main points you'd make that you wanted to get off your chest? If you could take that little soapbox in the board meeting and say to you know, Blake Solly, I don't know whether Blake Solly's there because he's the CEO, it's the board, but if you're Chairman Nick Pappas and you could say, get it off your chest, what would you say? 1-300-01-1170, text 0457-736-736. I'll also throw in, if you're a Roosters fan and could go to that board meeting today, what would you say? Because it'd be something about teeth or there'd be something there. But I just feel as if an 8 a.m. board meeting, I don't like it. Look, if Jason Demetrio was a share, you know, the stock has been suspended.
I reckon South Sydney fans are thinking, Andrew, they'd go in, they'd say, boys, we are 1-6. We are 1-6, firstly. Secondly, our forward pack is lame. We're limp. We got nothing through the middle. And what's happened to Lachlan Ilias, who a few months ago was our halfback for the next 10 years, yeah. Now he's on the market. He's out the door, according to his manager last night on NRL 360 virtually. So there's 3 points straight away.
But that's a slap in the face, isn't it, for Jason DiBiccio? Because he had been all, pushed his chips all in with his commentary around Lachlan Ilias. You know, some of his quotes, he's going to be one of the greatest halfbacks, if not the greatest halfback the club's ever had. I mean, to then, before you push the button on Jason DiBiccio's future one way or the other, you stand up to him, I'm not saying directly, but by making that announcement that he's free to negotiate, that flies in the face of comments the coach had been so strident about. So I'm crystal balling a little, trying to put the pieces together. Lewis Dodd, St. Helens, coming to Australia. Mark Ellison, football manager, flying over to England. Well, you're not flying over there for one signature. I can't help but think that Adrian Lamb is in the mix to come back to Australia. And if I'm joining dots, that dot leads straight to South Sydney. That if you're going over to England and you're not just coming home with a player whose signature, or you've got a verbal agreement anyway. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's the logical outcome. I think new coach, and I think they're looking. I'll take a punt. I'll take a little roll. I'm walking into a casino and I'm playing the chocolate wheel, and I'm saying I'll have $10 on Adrian Lamb, please.
Okay, for listeners who don't know what Adrian Lamb has done in England, Andrew, take us through it briefly.
Well, he's had a few clubs, but he's had success. I mean, Wigan, he had great success, but what he did with the Lee Leopards, joining on there, was the statement of I'm ready for an Australian gig for mine, because you haven't joined one of the powerhouse clubs, have you? You know, you joined a club, yes, on the way up, but to achieve what he has at Lee Leopards, I think Adrian Lamb now has runs on the board. He's been assistant to Mal Meninga with the Australian side, so he hasn't disconnected from the Australian game at all. He's been head coach of Papua New Guinea. I just think apprenticeship served, and I'm not undermining Super League by saying that's an apprenticeship, but you know what I mean? I think runs are on the board. I think the timing is now. Adrian Lamb, if there's going to be a change, I just think today's going to be a big day. 250 points conceded this year on the back of last year. I don't think an 8 a.m. board meeting just says, well, let's play on. Six to go.
And this encapsulates what a big year it's been for South Sydney. They opened the round on Thursday night by playing Penrith. They last played the Panthers round 8 last year, so just over a year ago. They took down the Premiers 20-18. Latrell Mitchell was flying. They scored 2 tries through Latrell. They beat the Premiers. They surged towards the top of the table a few weeks later. Boy, doesn't that seem like 101 years ago, not 1 year ago, Andrew?
Yeah. And after Penrith, they played Dragons, Cowboys. Let me just get that right. Dragons, Cowboys. And then they play the Eels. So the draw gets a little bit away from the cream of the crop, having to play Melbourne and Penrith back-to-back weeks. But that's the awful timing for Jason DiBiccio. If you're being given they've intimated that, the team's got to fire over these, they're going to show something, or otherwise you're gone. Well, he's got arguably the two best teams in the comp outside of Brisbane in Melbourne and Penrith consecutive weeks. And Melbourne's conceded 54. Yeah. Penrith, is anyone out there? No one's tipping South to win against Penrith Thursday night. No one. Is anyone tipping Penrith to score less than 30 points?
Not many.
Crickets? Is it cricket?
Not many.
Anyone? No, I don't believe anyone is. So the defensive issue is going to carry on into this week. Do you have another 8 a.m. board meeting next week? I mean, this does not read well for Jason, who I have always enjoyed talking football with, very decent man, but boy, oh boy, it can be a bitch of a job.
And a long coaching history, a long successful coaching history in Australia and overseas through the lower grades. So unfortunately, when you get to NRL level, that doesn't count for much when you are 1-6 of a famous club. And, the Panthers $1.15 favourites this week and plenty tipping a score of 30-plus along the way.
What do you think? Well, what's your crystal ball say? Matty, I've called you Michael.
Call me Michael.
That's what my crystal ball. I got it from the reject shop. Got your wrong name. But what is your crystal ball say? What can you see anything in there at an 8 a.m. board meeting?
No, say absolutely not. I feel like tonight on NRL Tonight that we're going to be delivering some significant news for South Sydney. Because
does this feel like Anthony Griffin last year at the Dragons? You know, he turned up in the morning and then he drove off and that was it.
And you know
it was
what,
all over. It was done early hours.
I hate coach sackings on multiple reasons, because there's a man involved and his family and friends involved. There's often a big financial settlement involved that you think, well, why couldn't that go in a different area? And then you go further than that and you look at the clubs that have had big turnovers of coaches in recent years. It hasn't led to stunning success straight away, more often than not. You know, the clubs that have had huge turnovers in coaching have continued to languish for years after the coaching upheaval. So I don't like it on multiple fronts. I know it's, you know, sexy news talk, you know, coach sackings. It you know, fuels newspapers, radios, televisions and podcasts. But, you know, I don't like them. I don't like it.
Welcome back to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. You can follow the show on social media at Vossie Brandy SEN on X and Instagram. On today's episode, we had the back page with the Daily Telegraph's David Riccio, a.k.a. the nudist, with all the big rugby league news. In your history covering rugby league, when there is a board meeting out of hours, and not the late night one, the morning kind, what's happened the bulk of times? Someone loses their job, don't they?
Yeah. Look, it's a difficult one because, look, at the end of the day, they need to emerge from the board meeting with an outcome. Whether it's either they're backing JD or they're sacking JD, there has to be an outcome. The conjecture can no longer go on. So that has to be the deliverance as far as what does the board want to achieve when they do emerge. My concern is that what's changing at South Sydney immediately with a change of coach? And I would think that only by changing JD is it a perception change from South Sydney in the interim. Ben Hornby has been JD's assistant for the last two to three seasons. So I don't see much changing there, again, only from a perception point of view. The performance of the footy team, I would argue, it's not going to differ too much with the elevation of Ben. I'm not saying Ben's a poor coach or anything in that regard. I just believe that the belief system, the structure, and only a change of voice would be the difference. Ben's been an ally of JD. They're as thick as thieves. So I don't see what changes there. Obviously, David Ferner was brought on 2 weeks ago to focus on the club's defensive attributes. With the greatest respect of Dave Ferner, I don't see how Dave stepping into the role changes it anything either, just due to the fact that he's had little to do with the playing group. And so then when you start with David Ferner, who has had little to do with the playing group, you're almost starting again halfway through a footy season. So JD might, the alternative is that Demetrio sees the rest of the season out. South Sydney informed him today that you can see the season out, but we're going to move on in next year. That's one of the options. So look, I don't know what the outcome will be, guys, but what has to happen, there has to be an outcome. On where the club is going next. The conjecture's been way too much. The pressure on Demetrio every single week and he fronting up saying, I've been told nothing, it's got to stop.
So from a South Sydney fans' perspective, Dave, board meets 8 o'clock. What are they then going to call a snap media conference in your mind for mid-morning or early afternoon? What unfolds post this board meeting this morning?
Look, historically, it can happen two ways, Matty. A press release can be pushed out to all the major media outlets as far as what the decision the South Sydney Board have made. And it rests with the press release that, as I said, i.e. we're sticking with JD or we're moving on. Look, alternatively, Rabbitoh CEO Blake Solly, he's one that has always fronted up in a crisis or a major situation at the footy club. And I dare say, if there's a major decision made, he would front up at some point today to explain that decision and where the club's going forward. You can't have one of the biggest clubs in Sydney, hiding behind a press release on such a major decision. So I would think Blake steps forward.
And just so people understand governance, and this is where there's been some criticism of the Tigers, that interim chairman appoints CEO long-term Shane Richardson, gets 4 years. Where's the actual governance there? Blake Solly, as CEO of South, has nothing to do, David, with the decision whether Jason Demetriou stays or goes. It gets handed. That's why you have boards, isn't it? Your chairman and the board, that will be the discussion. He may pass on or may relay information from further down the line, but in the actual decision-making process, he would have no input?
No input. No input whatsoever as far as who the next coach would be, or anything in that regard. He merely provides information, fact and detail from the ground, from within the footy club, its workings, feedback from players, high-performance staff, coaching staff, of which he can pass on to the board, and it's the South Sydney board that would ultimately make the decision. You're right, Blake Solly is the chief executive, but it's from a club point of view, and he reports back to the board.
Well, Dave, forget breaking news. This morning, Andrew Voss had a breaking thought that Adrian Lamb would return from England to be involved with South Sydney going forward. React to that for me.
I don't think it's a bad shout at all, Vossy. And you know, you make the lineage through to Lewis Dodd and the anticipation that South Sydney will announce his signing for next season. And look, there's no denying any time that I've reached out to Adrian or spoken to his management team about coaching in the NRL, there's a genuine anticipation there. Ambition there. He wants to be an NRL coach. So I don't think it's the worst shout at all, Vossi. Could be onto something, mate.
Okay, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Every dog has its day, David. Every dog. I'm not wishing it to happen. Can I just put that on the record? I'm certainly, and I'm not even death riding Jason Demetriou. I'm just calling what I see and what I've experienced over the years. But all I know is every chat I've ever had with Adrian Lamb on this program or heard him quoted elsewhere, he wants to be an NRL coach somewhere down the track. Mark Ellison's over there. Yeah, I'm just joining dots. Mark Ellison's over there to get a signature on a player who's already agreed to terms. He's not just going for that one signature. He's not going over there for an autograph. He'll be wheeling and dealing while he's there with others, and the coaching position might be vacant. Why would you not talk to the potential candidates? I think he's number one. I really do.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, when it comes to the club across the Anzac Parade, Luke Keary yesterday decided to call it quits. At the end of this season, at one stage there, we thought it was going to be immediate because of head knocks, but he released a 7-minute sort of thank you to everybody through the club website yesterday and didn't detail the exact thinking behind his decision to call it quits at the end of this season. There are a number of questions here. Why now? What does it do to the salary cap space at the Roosters? Do they look outside Sam Walker, Sandon Smith, Connor Watson? So what happens in this Luke Keary realm?
Yeah, Matty, look, I'm with you. The timing was interesting, given the fact that Luke had recently re-signed for another season through until the end of 2025, and all roads were headed that way. I can tell you, at the back end of last year, talking to Luke about what's he going to do? Because he was off contract at the end of this season, and he eventually pushed out for another 12 months. And talking to him back then, he was in two minds back then on whether he wanted to go around again for 2025, and ultimately talking about I wonder how long I can delay my decision for. So I just wonder whether there's a few contributing factors here. Reaching this point in the season, the grind of the season, guys, might be hitting Luke Keary. But at the same time, there's no denying the repeated head knocks that Luke has suffered through the back end of his career would be a contributing factor. And he'll eventually admit that that was part of the reason. Not the reason, part of the reason. And it came as a surprise, no doubt, due to the fact that he had recently extended with the footy club. And now Now it really opens the salary cap up for the Sydney Roosters. And I think it, the news of a $4 million war chest sends a shiver down the spine of every recruitment manager, rival recruitment manager in the game, because the Roosters are going to be the big fish in town and the big players on the open market. And we all know when the Roosters chase, they rarely miss. And so when you're competing against the Roosters, Vossi, it's going to be very difficult for rival clubs.
Just on, we said, I mean, we just in talking in broad terms last week, when Dale Finucan made his announcement and we weren't expecting that, and we sort of just said in conversation, well, I wonder what James Tedesco was thinking. We sort of took our eye off the ball. Probably could have said, well, gee, I wonder what Luke Keary's thinking. When Dale Finucan says, I've had enough, you know, 7 head knocks, that's it, I'm out. Yeah. You'd have to think there'd be some behind closed doors, and I'm not talking publicly or even if it's just when their head hits the pillow that night, going through their head thinking, well, I wonder whether I should do the same.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you could not. Like, I know James Tedesco says, I've never had side effects to any concussion, and he's had 10. He's had 10. Yeah. And I'm not quite sure of the Luke Keary number. You might know better, Dave, an exact number of failed HIAs, but there's been some bad ones for Luke Keary.
Yeah.
It'd just be human nature, wouldn't it, to at least think about your future in those terms?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're right. I think the Dale Finucane style of announcement, where he was, we haven't had a player that has been so candid and open about the length and breadth that he went to as far as seeking medical advice to determine if this is it. Is this my career over? And to that point, can I keep playing? And when Dale was explaining that, I've got no doubt other players were listening. Luke Keary suffers from significant migraines, guys. And whether that's a spin-off from the repeated head knocks, I don't know. But I do know he suffers from serious migraines. And it becomes arduous, guys. Like, he's had an incredible career. Incredible. One of the most courageous playmakers for his size that I've seen play the game. And I just can't get away from the fact that we're at this point of the year, I feel as though he's realised that the season's getting more arduous as his little legs tire every year, and the complicating factor of repeated head knocks is a major factor in the decision.
You're right, Dave. As we talk about all these issues, we've got to celebrate a career. 12 seasons, 212 games and counting. He's 180 centimetres, 85 kgs in the modern game. Spotting most other players 20 kgs plus, yet he plays in 3 grand finals and wins them all. So well done, Luke Keary. You mentioned the war chest that will strike fear into rival clubs. Andrew from Emu Plains has been working the calculator. He says if the Roosters have a reported $4.2 million war chest after 6 players leave, can you explain how the other 24 only get $7 million or under $300,000 per player? There's something to do some homework on this week. But if we leave Luke Keary there and go to Manly's Daly Cherry Evans fronting the judiciary tonight, trying to beat a dangerous throw charge or have it downgraded from grade 2 to grade 1, it's a big difference. He cops a financial penalty if successful with the downgrade. If he fails tonight, he'll miss games against Canberra, the Dolphins and Brisbane at Magic Round. Now, there is no such thing as a good bloke downgrade, Dave. But he's never been suspended in his 313 NRL games.
Yep.
Will he get the downgrade?
He'll get the good bloke downgrade, guys. He'll get it. And it's for that basis alone. When you factor in the numbers, and how many games he's played, how many minutes he's spent on a rugby league field in the NRL, to go without a single suspension, he will get this downgrade. He will get.
But what a crap system, Dave. What a crap system, right? Just line up Tano Milne to Daly Cherry-Evans. First of all, the offences side by side, what one gets and what the other, and it's ended up the same. The Tano Milne is basically, for want of a word, rewarded for an early plea when he's blatantly guilty. Blatantly guilty. You know, he doesn't now face the three matches. He only gets the two. So he would have fired in his plea in a heartbeat. There's nothing to defend. So he gets rewarded. Daily Cherry Evans thinks he's got a case, but he has to take a gamble to argue his case in a democratic, you know, system. He will be penalised if he fails in arguing his case. How does that? How can that be fair? How's that fair? They're not criminals. They're footy players.
No, it's not.
That's not right.
You're right. No, it's right. And that's why I'm so confident he'll get off. Because it does. It flies in the face of the system. What the changes you could make, I'm not too sure. You're going to start to take me down to the, should we get rid of the kickoff controversy? but honestly, that's why he'll get off today. Because that is the underlying reason here. When you put a Tane Mill next to a Daily Cherry Evans, there's absolutely no comparison that you can make as far as the behavioural standard of on the field is polar opposites.
Well, there should be some charges where, and some incidents where there it should come with a little caveat. No, there's no early plea discount. You know, this incident is worth four matches and you're not getting it reduced to three if you enter early plea because you are guilty. You punched him in the head or you tripped him, you kicked him. There should be no early plea for blatant offences. No discount, an early plea.
Agree.
Of course, we're talking football. David, so are you in stakeout mode position at the moment? Are you outside South or not?
I am not at the moment. I am not. My colleagues will be. However, it will be broken and revealed exclusively, no doubt, on the Daily Telegraph website as soon as it drops out of that South Sydney board meeting.
Welcome back to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. If you missed the show on a morning, you can always subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Vossie and Brandy at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And it being a Tuesday episode, we had our Sport and the Law segment with Lee Hadjipantelis from Bryden's Lawyers.
Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy for Bryden's Lawyers. Let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.
Put them up, Matty. Put them up. We're just going. Lee Hadjipantelis. Lee should come on as a guest tipster one week, perhaps. Because I don't think my tips were all that solid last week. I've hopped on a few. I've gone early crow. Like, I went early crow dragons.
Does he face legal recourse if the tips 60. Aren't good?
Is there if he got sued. What if he got sued for poor tipping? Lee, that's a question without notice. Can people who tune into this program thinking they're getting some sort of expert analysis and a bloke declares the Dragons early crow, like 5 days out from the match, and they end up conceding 60 and losing. Could I be subject to legal action, Lee?
Good morning, gentlemen. Absolutely, Andrew. There's a very famous decision of Hedley, Byrne and Heller where this fellow relied upon the expert financial advice of a broker to his detriment. He had held himself out to be an expert. This fellow invested with him and lost his money, and the court held that he was entitled to rely upon the expert advice or what was professed to be expert advice to his financial detriment. So if the listeners out there are listening to your tips and you profess to be an expert in the area and to their financial detriment, call 1-800-848-848.
Oh, dear. I need a precursor. The phone's running off the hook. They're going to be like the last episode of Seinfeld. What about the time Voss hopped on this bus? What about the time he hopped on the Illawarra Hawks? They've come out with 1,000 examples of the times that I've hopped on buses and it's derailed or it's crashed into the fence.
I'm going to start introducing myself. My name is Matt Russell. I'm a hopeless tipster. Do not pay any attention to anything I say. So thank you for the legal advice.
Disclaimer.
Lee, that is great.
Good promo. Good promo for the show.
More seriously, we've been talking this morning about this emergency board meeting or this board meeting about to start or just underway at Heffron Park, the Rabbitohs board meeting. Lee, as a man who's been involved in many important, high-powered board meetings at a different club, and without saying that you know anything that's going on at South Sydney, how important is this morning to make a clear decision, communicate it effectively? What are the aims of the Rabbitohs board, generally speaking, this morning?
Well, it will be, as you say, Matty, to make a decision. It's very unusual, as you pointed out earlier, for a board decision to be called this time of the day. So you can assume there would have been a number of frantic phone calls in the last day or two, culminating in the calling of this board meeting. I suspect there's only one item on the agenda. All the board members will be present and they will speak to that item. And eventually there will be a vote taken. But I can tell you from personal experience that this is an incredibly difficult task. There are a number of people, for example, who are more gung-ho than others. There are others who are more concerned about the publicity that may arise out of these decisions being taken. There are others who are more focused on the results and the best interests of the club. And so there's all these competing interests. You get all different personalities on the board. But ultimately, what will hopefully bring them together is the paramount interests of the club and what's best in the for the purpose of the club moving forward. And then they'll make a decision and move on. If they come out, as I've been involved in previously, they come out and no decision is taken, all it will do is continue to fester until such time as a decision is taken. It's almost like they smell blood in the water. And if it doesn't happen today, it will eventually happen. And it makes it very uncomfortable for all the parties involved, and particularly the coach.
The club will not succeed, will not turn the corner going week by week. You know, if they're waiting to see what happened against Melbourne, and then, you know, they can set another 54 points there. And if today they have a meeting and say, right, well, you know, we'll continue here, but then Penrith put 40 on them. You can't survive week to week. There's got to be clarity. So I fully endorse what you've said there, Lee. It needs to be a decision. I just think that in my history covering the game, 8 a.m. board meetings don't lead to glowing endorsements ever.
Not at all.
And I only have to think back to Anthony Griffin last year at the Dragons, and Michelle Bishop was on the scene for us, Matty, and Lee on SEN was there and saw Anthony Griffin driving off. Actually, I think shouted out, you know, can I get you a coffee? Well, would have been waiting a long time for the coffee because he was off.
Yeah.
He wasn't coming back. And that was early morning while we were on air. Lee, Reece Walsh. Now, I've gone big time here on the Reece Walsh bus. I think he's the most popular player in all my time following rugby league. I've never seen cut through by a player with so many young people. And it was evidenced at Campbelltown, an area you know well. Last week, kids were just turning up to come and see Reece Walsh and, you know, making signs and all that. His potential to earn money away from the game, does Reece need good legal advice here because guidance? Because, you know, you want him to succeed, but there must be pitfalls. There must be traps as well and in deals and that sort of thing.
No, absolutely. I would strongly suspect that he would have a very good team around him, not only of a manager, lawyers, financial brokers, advisors and the like, because his earning potential is unlimited. And of course, it is actually unlimited. There is no limit to the amount of money that he can earn outside of the game. Any payment to him outside of the salary cap, of course, is a third party arrangement. So that's, you know, an arrangement with a person who is not the NRL club. And they have to be legitimate. They're registered with the NRL and they're scrutinised to ensure that they are legitimate. The club can't be involved in any of those relationships. It must be negotiated at arm's length. They can't use the NRL's intellectual property, the logos and the emblems and the colours, et cetera, et cetera. But beyond those restrictions, there is nothing to limit what Reece Walsh can do. You know, he can become the face of Nike in Australia, for example, or Coca-Cola, whatever it might be, some sports drink. But he would have a team of managers around him. He's very, very young. You know, he looks like an incredibly street-smart young kid to me. That's how he presents. But a lot of these things are very involved, very intricate, very complex, particularly when it comes to selling your own IP and for what length of time, what commitment you make, what restrictions there may be on the use of that IP, for example. All of these things have to be considered. It's a very, very complicated area, but I'm sure he's been well served by advisors.
Well, let's pretend that you're his advisor. Let's pretend that Reece Walsh jumps on 1-800-848-848 today, contacts Bryden Lawyers, gets a meeting with Lee Hadjipantelis. Lee, you got a key message to give this young star whose earnings are who knows what. What's your key legal message to Reece Walsh as he then embarks on what he hopes is a very profitable period in his professional career?
Yeah. Well, you engage the right people. There's an old saying, Matty, that you don't buy a dog so you can bark yourself. So as a lawyer, the first thing you would do is engage the right people to advise. That could be PR consultants. That could be media advisors. For example, you would engage a management company. Now, as a lawyer, you would be able to go over and scrutinise any of the legal agreements, of course, that were in place. And you would give advice as to things that would be of concern, the length of the agreement, the extent to which you are committed, the extent to which you are not permitted then to do anything else. Because a lot of these agreements, for example, would require them to promote a particular product or a service, and you would therefore be unable to do anything outside of that would conflict with those arrangements. So all of those restrictions, all of those limitations would have to be explained. You would work out moving forwards what may be in his best interest, what would serve his purpose, his own IP. how he would project that moving forward, what his intentions were, for example. He might think about a media career maybe in the long term. So you'd put all those things into place early on.
I'm sure what you just said was very big, but I'm still writing down, you don't buy a dog so you can bark yourself. Beautiful, beautiful turn of phrase. Loved it.
I can't take credit for that. Joining
a few strands together from stories, the sad passing of Terry Hill last week, but in his history was the challenging of the draft. We've just had the NFL draft in America. I don't know whether you saw the images, Lee. Like 750,000 people went out and watched the draft over 3 days. Like 750,000 people went along to watch it. Matty Russell threw in a little bit of burly out there, saying that, well, okay, on the draft, could the NRLW be a draft? Like the players go in and build up some publicity around that? Could that happen? As it stands right now, if a draft was introduced by rugby league, and this was always said to me in the past, if it's challenged in court, of course it will be beaten. Is there any way a draft can be written that it would stand up in court? Or is that impossible? You just need the goodwill, spirit of the game, what's best for the game approach from all parties.
No, you are right that a well-prepared, well-drafted document would withstand legal challenge. Now, of course, the challenge was to the NSWRL draft back in 1991. I think there was over 150 players. And the draft at the time was not received well by clubs or by players and coaches and managers and the like. And so it was successfully challenged in the decision of Adamson versus the NSWRL, which went right through to the High Court. Now, the High Court found that the draft as it was then was an unreasonable restraint of trade and struck it down. But the High Court did not say that the draft per se was unreasonable, just the one that was presented to it. So there's no reason why a well-crafted draft would not withstand legal challenge. Now, in relation to the draft or any restraint of trade, the court will uphold it if it is, firstly, reasonably necessary to protect the interests of the organisation, here the NRL, not unreasonable as regards the person restrained, and not unreasonably injurious to the public. Now, we have the draft in Victoria, of course, the AFL. It's been operating for some time. To my understanding, there has been no legal challenge to the AFL draft. It would be interesting to see how it goes, if there was one. But it's been well received down there. It's been accepted as part of the game, and they've moved on. So to answer your first question, a well-prepared and well-crafted draft would withstand a legal challenge.
Welcome back to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. You can catch Teamless Tuesday live from 4 p.m. on the run home with Joel and Fletch. Big game in the AFL coming up on Saturday. The Sydney Derby, the Swans and the Giants. And a very special guest on the program today, Will Hayward from the Sydney Swans.
And this weekend, the Swans, the Giants, Saturday Arvo live on SEN 1170.
Morning, lads. How you doing?
We're doing exceptionally well. Now, look, one of the angles to the story that we get you on, so we're all in draft talk at the moment. One, the NFL draft, I don't know whether you follow that on the weekend, 750,000 people went out, crowd watching it over 3 days. Rugby league's never been able to get the draft across the line. You were picked up in the draft, going all the way back, South Australia born and bred, picked up by the Sydney Swans. Can you put us back in your shoes at that time? Were you willing to go anywhere to play, or did you have preferences? And when the Swans picked you up, were you Sydney? How you going?
Yeah, it was the draft. It's actually really, like, obviously nerve wracking experience for everyone. But you don't have a choice, and you know, most kids just want to get drafted. So I was the same. I was, you know, just be grateful to go anywhere. I wasn't expecting too much to get picked up by Sydney. The first time I spoke to them, they just absolutely gave it to me for, you know, just being a little skinny, naive kid that didn't train hard. So the list manager there gave me a bit of a spray, so I thought, all right, there's no chance I'm going there. But, yeah, obviously funny things happened, turned it around, and here I am.
Okay, so you're nearly a decade into life in Sydney. What's the worst part about living in Sydney? What's one part you thought, geez, I wasn't expecting that?
Probably housing prices or rent prices. Yes.
Traffic at times.
Traffic's not too bad. We're in the east. I'm just in Bondi and we train at the SCG, so I don't really leave there much.
And conversely then, Will, the positive side of it, what's the best part about living in Sydney that when you were leaving North Adelaide, you didn't see coming? What's the attraction here in your eyes?
Oh, I think apart from the beaches and the lifestyles, obviously the highlight. You know, we get a train at the SCG. We've got the awesome facility, so the list goes on and on. But the beaches still lived up to the hype.
Now, Will, just because you have got experience, let's just wrap up the draft chat. You as a player support the draft because you can see it does good things for the game. Would that be correct in saying you can see it's for the betterment of the game, for the good of the competition?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think the draft's great.
There you go. Yeah, as we've said, Sold. It's got to be very carefully written because we always said in rugby league, well, yeah, it is for the good of the game, but it is a restraint of trade, and there you go, it would never hold up in court. But AFL doesn't seem to have that problem. You know, you just accept it, and it's for the betterment of the game. Now, let's bring to the here and now, Will. I've already gone early crow. See, I've gone Swans, Giants, grand final. It's going to happen. I'm not giving you the bad juju. Right from the start, behind closed doors, do you talk grand finals? Do you talk about what the society is possibly capable of achieving this year?
No, it's very much a weekly focus. You don't look too far ahead because you can't. Like, any team on any given day can win. So, you know, you put your energy into the opposition you've got that week. You know when you've got a good team and there's confidence, but you can't take anything for granted and let your confidence, you know, get too far ahead. You've still got to stay grounded.
Oh no! Well, I was going to say, Will, what you're saying is you haven't noticed that Collingwood's like 3 wins from 7 and Brisbane are 2 from 7. That there might be a little opportunity this year. That's a few teams.
That's what I mean. No, any team on any given day can win. It's a perfect example of it. Any team can win.
I'm trying to pin you here, Will. I'm trying to pin you here to give the clickbait headline. We will win the comp.
I know what you're trying to do.
I'll settle for we will flog the Giants this weekend, Will. You're going to give us that headline.
We'll have a red-hot crack at them. They're obviously in really good form. Very good side. But the Battle of the Bridge is always a good game. So it'll be a good watch for anyone coming out.
Yeah. Now, on a serious note, on the top of the table, Geelong do look very impressive. You know, 7 from 7. And that win over Carlton, I thought was outstanding. So, you know, there's a fair benchmark ahead of you. Let's be honest, there is a fair benchmark, and Geelong are setting the pace and deserve to be where they are.
Yeah, they are. They're a really mature side. They're really well coached. Excuse me. And they've been the benchmark for a long time now. They're ultra consistent. So, they're the benchmark, and it's going to be good to match up against them when the time comes.
So, Will, what's pleasing your team most about its form heading into this Battle of the Bridge?
I think at the moment we've got a really even bunch of contributors. You know, we've got guys running off half back, inside mids getting it done, and a real good mix up forward as well. So I feel like we're dangerous all across the ground, but, you know, at the same time we've got a real want to win and a real competitive edge to us.
Hopefully that's on show this weekend. It's a great game on paper, Vossie. Great game.
Yeah. One to finish for you. We'll always open to questions on the text line. So by coming on this program, you put yourself at the mercy of the listener who may fire in a question. And a question comes in. Would you consider coming back to Adelaide? Would you be keen to go back to Adelaide sometime in your future?
I'm sort of going through all that stuff at the moment, but I'm in talks with the club, and so the manager and everyone else looks after all that. I honestly try not to stay too involved in that and just let whatever happens. But as I said, love Sydney and the lifestyle here.
You're a good man, Will. Thanks for being a good sport as well on the program. But I really appreciate your opinion on the draft. As a man who's been there, done that, been part of it, set off to Sydney, and now a supporter of it, can see it for the good of the game. All the best to you and the Swans in particular this Saturday. The game you can hear on SEN, Swans v Giants.
Thanks, lads. Get the draft going in the league.
Thanks for listening to the best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Remember the podcast? Just go to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Social media at Vossie Brandy SEN. Our show airs live weekday mornings from 6 a.m. See you later.